to the first class of the World Peace Diet Facilitator Circle. I'm your host, Steve Prusak, and I'm excited about moving forward with you as we create a space of inspiration, compassion, and peaceful revolution. This virtual circle will grow throughout the year, and we welcome you as a pioneer in this movement. Throughout the upcoming weeks, I look forward to sharing strategies with you to help you spread your message to the world. Whether it be for purpose, passion, or financial reward while doing what you love. I'll let you know more about me later this evening. If you have any questions throughout the evening, feel free to type them in at the membership site under Teleclass 1. Additionally, we're going to take some live calls during the night. You're just going to press star 2 to raise your hand, and you'll be placed in our queue. And right now, I'd like to introduce to you the author of The World Peace Diet and visionary artist behind our online mastery programs. As you know, Dr. Tuttle was a former Zen monk with a PhD in education from UC Berkeley. He's a musician, author, lecturer, and has been committed to spreading his message to the entire world. Let's welcome to the call right now Dr. Will Tuttle. Will?
Yes. Hi, Steve. Thank you so much for all the work you're doing to help make this possible. And I want to thank everyone who's on the call this evening. This is really our, as you said, this is really our first call that we've had together as a World Peace Diet Facilitator Circle. The one last month with Rory Friedman was, in a sense, kind of a conclusion of our World Peace Diet Facilitator training. And this begins a whole new level of working together. So I'm just looking right here. For the first time, I just kind of checked in. I noticed we have 32 questions in the Q&A, which is really quite a lot of questions, and I didn't realize we had so many. This is amazing. So maybe, Steve, if you can have a look at those and just tell me if those are all ones that are current or not, that would be helpful because I can't really look at them while I'm addressing everyone. That would be great. So everyone, thanks for joining us on the call. And as you know, this is the World Peace Diet Facilitator Circle call with Harold Brown a little bit later on this evening is the plan. We'll also be hearing from a few other folks who have gone through the facilitator training and have things to share, and I have some things to also talk about and share. And I also wanted to invite all of you just specifically to type in questions that you may have that you'd like to have addressed, or to press star 2 on your phone if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment as we're going along this evening. So let's begin our time together by just taking a moment and turning our attention within and giving thanks for each other, for this community, and for the opportunities that we've had to learn together and to connect more deeply with the inner wisdom of compassion and health, to begin to question at a deep level the programming of our culture and to begin to connect the dots to understand a way forward, a way that we can contribute to a new culture where we have the possibilities for freedom and peace based on compassion for animals, compassion for all living beings. That this is truly an idea whose time has come, and we give thanks knowing that we have the tools and that we're developing the abilities and capacities to thrive physically, spiritually, psychologically, culturally, and environmentally, and to advocate and share these ideas with others in a meaningful way to create livelihoods and relationships and communities based on compassion and interconnectedness, based on wisdom and on the sacred feminine dimension of the interconnectedness of all life. So we just give thanks knowing that every effort that we make to authentically deepen our understanding of the truth that we are and to root out of ourselves the old programs based on exclusion and domination and predation and might makes right, this sort of privilege and elitism that we really see is very much injected into all of us by our culture. And even after we go vegan on the outer level, we still have further progress. I know I sure do. Every day there's an opportunity to learn, to deepen my understanding of myself and my relationships with other people, and to be more compassionate to humans and to animals, and to be more effective in being able to really, as Gandhi said it so perfectly, to be the change that I would like to see in the world, and to let my life be the message. So thank you all again. I just think that this circle has enormous potential. And you saw, perhaps if you got the email today, if you had a chance to check your email, I quoted this one line from a poem that I really love by Rumi. Don't go back to sleep is the refrain in that poem. And the poem talks about the temptations that we all face to go back to sleep in some way. You know, we have an awakening, but then there's so many pressures and forces on us as individuals in our society, and inner forces as well, the old patterns and so forth that begin to kick in. And so I think one of the real benefits of this World Peace Diet Facilitator Circle is that it's a way for us to keep each other awake, to share ideas, to not be disconnected from the ideals and the passions that we have, and to support each other in deepening understanding of what veganism is and how we can live it, and to support each other in not either becoming, as people say, burned out in our efforts, or finding ourselves overwhelmed by the enormity of the problems that our culture has and that we seem to be facing, and to just keep putting one step in front of the other and doing the best we can to make our unique contribution. Because I think as we do that, we connect into the great wealth that we have, which is the power that we share together as a community. And I think these monthly calls are a wonderful way for us to share ideas together. So I know you're all here, and I can see actually on the thing that we have in front of us, we can see the folks that are on the call with us, at least some of them anyway. And I know some more will be joining us later, either from a way of getting on the call through the computer, or listening later when they come home from work, or some people are listening from other parts of the world and will be listening in the future. So the community is even larger. But those of us who are present now, I think we have an enormous amount we can share together. So looking at some of the ideas that I wanted to share with you right off the bat here, I think if you have access to the membership area of your of the website, you'll see that there's two sheets that we gave you. One of them is the overview of some recent developments and resources for this month, for May of 2011. And I wanted to go through some of those things because I think those are important things to talk about and to be aware of. And if you have questions or comments on any of these, please let me know. There's also what I thought was a really quite interesting article by a woman who's one of the more well-known, famous scientists in England, talking about how she finally, through quite a bit of her own research, figured out why there's no cancer in China, or why, at least up until recently, was very little cancer in China. And she finally realized it was because they don't do dairy products in China. I thought that was very interesting. So anyway, we're looking at that sheet. If you have it in front of you, if not, I'll just go through it briefly here. And like I say, just feel free to ask a question as we're going along or make a comment. That would be great. So the first two things are this recent cruelty to calves in a large dairy supply operation right outside Dallas. It's so interesting because we were just the day before yesterday, we were in Dallas on our tour, traveling, and this is, I think it's interesting. The first link is to just a three-minute long video that's quite graphic of them, quote-unquote, euthanizing calves that were not useful. Apparently, there is just a lot of them. And then the second one is more of a human interest story. It's more an animal interest story, I guess you should say. It's showing how four of those calves were rescued and brought to a sanctuary in California so that their suffering wouldn't be in vain and they'd be able to be ambassadors for the animals, and people would come there and see them and hear the story of how in the dairy industry, basically, as you all know, there's a massive amount of they call it a rape rack. I mean, it's forced insemination of female cows in order to have babies, because they won't give milk if they don't have babies. And then there's so many babies left over because they do not want these babies. They just want the milk, and they don't want the babies to have the milk. So these calves, a lot of them just end up at this place. This is a place that, according to the video, there's 20,000 of these calves that are either euthanized because the dairies don't want to deal with them, or they are, and that's done usually by hitting them on the head with a hammer, which is a very painful way to die anyway, unfortunately. And then, or they are raised and then sent back into the dairy industry. So, or they're raised for veal. So there's this whole idea about looking at the dark side of dairy, and it's interesting because it's gotten a lot of media exposure, and it's good to see, I think, these undercover investigations getting out into the mainstream media. And then we also have been seeing just this last month, a couple of months anyway, the last month especially, several states trying to make it a felony offense to take any of this kind of footage undercover. And which is interesting. And actually, I got the good news, I think, today that Florida tried to do that in Florida, and that did not get out of the committee, apparently. So that was good news. That bill is not going to go forward, apparently, in Florida. So anyway, there's that whole thing. And then more positive news is the Folks Over Knives was just released a few days ago to quite a lot of fanfare. And I think that was really good to see. I think it's been, I've watched it. I had a chance, actually. I think I told you this maybe last time, but the movie was created by, the director anyways, lives in Los Angeles. And when we were in Los Angeles last March, he had us over to his house and we watched the movie. So we had a chance to really see it. I think he's tightened it up a little bit and made it a little more impactful, but it's a great, great movie in terms of showing the health benefits of eating a plant-based diet, with T. Colin Campbell and Caldwell Esselstyn and Neil Barnard and Rip Esselstyn. We're in Austin, Texas right now, and so we were just in the Austin Health Whole Food Store, where Rip Esselstyn has a big spread of the Engine 2 diet books, and they have a whole section of vegan cooking and vegan, healthy eating. It's all low oil, no salt, no sugar, and all plant-based foods. And it's a really quite impressive. And they're wanting to roll this out in all the Whole Foods eventually. So we're seeing quite a lot of people beginning to realize the health benefits. And my critique to the director of the Forks Over Knives movie was, I said, this is a great movie on the health thing, but, you know, really don't talk too much about the cruelty to animals or the environmental impacts either. And he said, that's true, but we just wanted to really nail this. And I told him that I think that's helpful to our movement, the movement for health, of course, and also the movement for compassion for animals, because as long as people are under the completely erroneous idea that meat and dairy products have something in them that's healthy for us, that we need to eat, then animals are going to suffer. So I think the more we can disabuse people of that false notion that animal foods have anything at all that is healthy, that you need to have to be healthy, then the better it is for all of us, for the animals, for future generations, and for the environment. So this, I think this movie is really helpful in the sense that it's getting enormous traction. I have a little below there, Dr. Oz recently promoted this film and had all of these doctors, most of them anyway, on his show. So I have a link to that, too. So if you want to look at that, you know, I kind of suggest seeing this. It's quite uplifting. It's a little quirky at the end. They recommend five or six, you know, superfoods you have to eat, and there's things that I don't think people very often eat at all, like frozen strawberries and rhubarb and endive and banana ice cream. I thought that was a little bit strange. And there's no oil really allowed either, which I think for most people brings the vegan, I mean, it's vegan, and on top of that, no oil, which from my point of view is going a little far for most people. I think it's probably healthy not to have too much oil, but when you put that onto people on top of it, it may, from my point of view anyway, it makes it a little more difficult. But nevertheless, I think there's a very positive message that was getting out there, and it could sure help a lot of people to avoid cancer, heart disease, and a whole range of diseases, and a lot less suffering than animals. So those are things. And then there's also links to this article, which I think is another new story that we'll probably see more of, that meat and milk from cloned cows has now been approved to be used in England. It looks like that's happening, which is not good news, actually, for animals. And then this other article I thought was interesting, and there's a new strain of disease from Gulf oysters. The whole thing of what's happening in the Gulf, the pollution of the Gulf, and what it's doing to the fishing industry. I think there's more and more news that is slowly coming out about the environmental devastation that's happening to the oceans and how it's making it much less wise. I mean, it was already very unwise to eat fish and seafood at all, but now with this, and then also with the whole Fukushima situation, which apparently has been really covered up, but there's been complete meltdowns in some of the reactors, and a lot of nuclear radiation has escaped and actually is still escaping, which means that seafood and also dairy products, you know, animal foods in general will concentrate radiation. It's probably a good idea to be aware of all these things and do the best you can to wash leafy greens, of course. But these are things that, you know, are to me symptomatic of living in a culture where we're so disconnected from the ramifications of our food choices and the effects that our lives have on the environment. So those are some of the main points I wanted to bring out on those developments, and then to mention that three of what I think are some of the best podcasts to listen to regularly, which I do. I typically try to listen to these three, and I'm sure there's a lot more. But I also want to encourage everyone to share on the community forums or here with us tonight the resources that you have found to be helpful, because I know there's a lot of fantastic resources on the internet and in other places to find out more about what's happening in our movement and the movement for health and sustainability and freedom and justice and so forth. So anyway, Bob Linden's Go Vegan Radio, I was just on that again recently, and Grace Lorraine, one of our facilitators, has a regular little sort of like a mini ad announcing that she is offering World Peace Diet lectures in the Southern California area. So I thought that was really nice to see. There's also, in Bob's program, he's quite a quite a radical guy, but I think he gets excellent interviews on there, people that really know a lot of information, so it's really good. And then Vance Lemkuhl has VegCast, another very, very good, high-quality podcast. Then our own Steve Prusak has Rob Egan Radio. Steve, are you able to check with you here? Would you be able to talk a little bit about what you're doing right now with RobVeganRadio.com and some of the things you're up to and how you could maybe what kind of resources you have to offer everyone who's listening to our program?
Yeah, Will, that would be great because I think that's what I'm going to bring to this circle. You know, we're all contributing and bringing what we could. And when I look at my background, I just want to share that with everyone because throughout the programs, we haven't really gone much into it, and I'd like to share that now. So thanks, Will, for that opportunity.
Sure.
And Will's been on the show a few times now, actually. And this show started, it's Raw Vegan Radio, and it started as a podcast, just like some of you might be doing. And that was over 7 years ago, and it really started just as a hobby, as a way to educate others about healthy vegan lifestyle. I came to raw veganism through veganism. And it was kind of like a step I took and tried being raw for a while and just trying to eat healthier and that kind of thing. But my heart's always been in the vegan movement. Now, since that time, the program's just grown, you know, year by year, and eventually became a full-time job, which I've been doing for the last year now. And it's just opened so many doors along the way, giving me the opportunity to work with thought leaders like Louise Hay, John Robbins, Dan Millman, Howard Lyman, and of course Will. And I want to talk about my latest project so you get an idea of where this can all go and what I can bring to the table as far as what I'm doing. And this includes, well like we're, what we have here, the online mastery programs and this circle, which I'm the host for. I'm developing a brand new vegan detox program. It's virtual and it's called based on the Grape Cure, and I'll let you know more about that. I'm working with Rod Rotundi of Leaf Organics in Culver City, and we're creating an online vegan and raw vegan cooking school, similar to what Bo Rinaldi's doing, right, Will? Because I know he's got a program, too.
Yeah.
Working with Natasha Kayes, we're doing a virtual Simply Raw Detox program, and with Doug Graham, who's kind of big in the raw vegan movement, we're spreading his message in the 80-10-10 diet with a virtual book tour. And the big news is I'm pulling together a 24-hour multi-speaker event called Vegan Palooza, and I'm sure you'll hear more about this. And Dr. Tuttle's, along with Bo Rinaldi, is included on this. He's a co-author of Vegan Fusion, which he wrote with Mark Reinfeld, was it, Will?
Right, yeah, Mark Reinfeld.
And he's the owner of Blossoming Lotus in Portland, Oregon. He'll be involved in this too. And we've had some incredible advisors on the board for this project. So if any of you are interested in helping out on any level with this program, drop me an email at steve@rawveganradio.com. And on a personal note, in my spare time, I invest my love and passion towards my fiance and first love and high school sweetheart, Julie, and my stepson, Eli, and not to mention our six-month-old puppy and two cats. And I'm thrilled to open myself to all of you and share all the secrets and strategies I found to be most effective. I'm committed to you and your growth, and thank you for being part of this circle. Thanks, Will.
Well, yeah, that's neat. You're doing so many great things, and really I think it's fantastic to be able to work together. And I also want to say that Steve knows a lot about techniques for online marketing. And do you want to talk about that at all for a minute, or some of your information products? I mean, the way you're able to help people with that, or do you want to do that later?
Sure. I mean, I could just kind of generally tell you all just the technologies of what we're using here and what you've all experienced going through the mastery programs, because what we're doing here really isn't being done anywhere on the internet, and it's been pulling these technologies together of the membership site with the teleseminar programs and working with someone like Dr. Tuttle or anyone else to create these kinds of programs and working in this holistic, eco, vegan, conscious living area, able to develop these kinds of programs. And what I'm going to be doing is teaching other people how to work in this platform, how to develop your own brand around it, and because that's what I've been able to do. And so my next step is going to be to share this with other people. I've got a team that's working with me on that. In addition to the things I'm doing, which are my passion, it's also spreading these technologies to everyone and teaching them how to do it, because really it's limitless what you could do with the technology. And like what Will and I did here, you've gone through the programs. Now we've got automated programs, so we can just keep spreading the message, building the community. And that's why I say throughout the year the circle is going to build, because as more and more people go through the mastery program and the facilitator training, then they're going to be included in our circle. And some of those people are on the call tonight, and they're going to be listening, and that's how community grows. And if you have a message that you're thinking about or a business that you're going to want to grow, then that's what I'm here for, and I'll be more active in the membership site community forums, and I'll be here on the call some weeks. I might, or, you know, some months, if we have some time, I'll do some marketing tips and things like that to really give this whole program a lot of value, really teach you how to market your message, because internet marketing is huge. It's a large ocean, and once you start getting involved in it, I'm not by any means an expert and always a student, but I also do know from doing it all these years some of the things that work, and I'm here to share that with all of you. Is that general enough, Will, or did you want to go more?
Yeah, I think that's good for now, because you know, one of the things, what you're doing, which is I think what a lot of people aspire to do, really, is to make a living, spreading the vegan message, and in doing that, there's all kinds of ways. There's so many different ways it can be done, but I think to sort of think outside some of the boxes and be creative, and that's what you're doing. And I think more and more we'll find more and more of us will be doing that, because it's not the only way to live. I mean, I think it's great if you can, you know, if you have a job or livelihood or what you're doing, and you can help spread the vegan message, and along with that, that's also excellent. But the more we're able to move, I think, into the direction of bringing our entire life into alignment with values, then I think we find things just get more and more synchronized. We make more connections. There's all these wonderful coincidences, so-called, and fortuitous circumstances begin to arise, begin to meet people. Madeline and I notice this happening all the time, this wonderful synchronicities, and we just really appreciate the efforts that so many people are making. Sometimes it's working as a volunteer in the beginning, and then as time goes on, doors open. Like right now, we're in Austin. We're staying with a woman here named Vanessa, who's just really wanted to help bring the vegan message to the world. And this is where Whole Foods has its headquarters. So she was just telling me a little while ago, we went over to Whole Foods, this gigantic Whole Foods, and that's the biggest one in Austin. And you can get lost in there, really. And there's this whole area that's just devoted to vegan education, you know, plant-based eating, and books, and foods. And she's there all day just to help people with cooking classes, teaching them how to, you know, cook vegan meals, how to put together meal plans that are vegan, to answer their questions, to educate people. And she, you know, just had a vision to do that, and she's been a vegan now for about 15 years, and just, you know, got in, sort of was willing to do something that, you know, I don't think it pays a whole lot, but it, you know, pays enough for her to live on anyway. And she just sees it growing. You know, they're creating a pilot project there, the one in Austin, that they want to begin to bring to other places. So a way to get the vegan message to the masses, at least the masses that go to Whole Foods anyway. And so that's just one example. But I think, like you're saying, Steve, there's so much we can learn about using the internet and capacities for bringing this information to people in lots of different ways.
Right.
So, well, as we go on, you know, what we can use, we can talk more about. But yeah, go ahead.
Right. Well, I mean, I was going to say, and I do think it starts with your passion and starting to do what you love. Like I said, it started as a hobby, and I worked a full-time job up until last year, you know, and I was doing this on the side and just put energy into it, and eventually it snowballs and grows. So I think anyone really, you know, as long as you get in touch with what you love and what you're meant to be doing on this planet, I don't see why abundance can't follow in synchronicity. And when you're in alignment with what you should be doing, there's no reason that you should be unhappy in your everyday job.
Right. Now, one little tip I will give is that if that, and I remember this, I used this actually very consciously when I decided I wanted to make my living playing the piano, because I thought, well, it's not possible to make one's living playing the piano. That was really what I thought. The way a lot of people think maybe now, well, it's not possible to make one's living just spreading veganism or compassion or, you know, something like that. But I found that if the principle followed was that every single day without fail, I would do something to just push the ball forward a little bit. Every single day I would do something, some action. It might just be a symbolic thing, but I would do something. I would make a phone call. I would try to set up some kind of an engagement to play a concert somewhere, or I would work on another piece of music, or, you know, just do something to bring it from being sort of a hobby that I love doing to becoming actually my main livelihood. And gosh, I tell you, within about, I think it was 9 months to a year, I was doing it, and it was going great, actually. So I think it's enormous to do something like that every single day.
I think in conclusion, I'll just say that we've got a lot of different people as part of the circle, and whether it be that you're doing this just because it's your passion to spread the message, or if you do want to build it into a business, then that's part of the intention of the group, and we're going to try to give you those tools too. So that's the part that I would like to bring to the table.
Great. So thank you so much. And so does anyone, I'm just wondering, I was thinking right about now we would have Harold joining us on the call. I'm just not, Steve, you're the only one that can help me on this. Is he on here? Can you tell on our list? Or Harold, if you are, can you press star 2? Because otherwise we will have to... We'll go ahead and go to Mark Stroud, because I know he's with us, and I wanted to talk to him. There's a few other people I wanted to talk to, and maybe Harold will join us. Steve, you
star 2, Harold. If you're on the call, just press star 2, and your hand will go up.
Oh, wait, here's somebody raising their hand, but that's not Harold. Well, let's go ahead and unmute this call.
Okay.
Caller from area code 425.
Okay, you're hello, 425.
Well, hey, Steve, it's Pamela. Hi, Will.
Hi.
I really wanted to talk to Harold. Is he going to be on tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be. He said he would be, and awesome. I'm just kind of surprised. I don't see his phone here.
Well,
so,
I'll just raise my hand again later, then, when he comes on.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Pamela. Yeah, we're thank you, Pamela, for that. And if we're trying to get a hold of Harold here, if he's on the line, it's star 2. And if not, I do see Mark is available, so maybe we can start with Mark, and Harold can join us later.
Okay, that'd be great. Mark, are you there?
Yep, Mark, we got you.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, wonderful to be here. It's a real genuine joy. Hello, Will. Hello, Steve.
Hey.
Hello, all the other facilitators, the powerful World Peace Diet facilitators. great to be among you. With such a web of compassion that's taking over the earth right now. It's so easy to sometimes in our daily life, and that all that's going on in our own small world, and somewhat fail to realize how powerful we are all are together collaborating. And I'm seeing more and more of that happen, and it continues to inspire me and educate me, and I deeply appreciate it. Is there anything in particular, Will, that you'd like to
Could you just talk a little bit about maybe some of the things that you think have been really helpful? I guess a couple of things. Some of what we were talking about the other day, what's going on in Cincinnati, that you have some people now that are giving World Peace Diet study courses that are not just trained. They kind of went through with you, and also about the church group that's starting to
Well,
just let people know about that, because I thought that was really interesting and something that could be duplicated maybe in some of the other, you know, people could do something similar in their cities, because there's some great things happening in Cincinnati, and Mark is kind of behind a lot of it, or at least knows about a lot of it, and I think it would be great to hear about it if you can.
Sure. There's a lot going on in Cincinnati. I know it's amazing. I know Will travels all over the country, and even California and New York, all the big cities, of course. And he continues to say that Cincinnati is a real hotbed of veganism. There's actually two World Peace Diet study groups going on simultaneously. There's one that's been going on the first one here, which has been going on now for 4 years, I think. And then there's one that just started up recently. And we started with maybe two or three, and now we have 30 or 40 people coming on a regular basis. And I think they started off with close to 10 people right off the bat. So it just kind of goes to show that the enthusiasm is just deepening and spreading and really exponentially. So that's really what keeps me going, and hearing all of the stories from all the people that come to the study group. And I'm amazed that the people who really, they have instant enlightenment and basically become vegan overnight, and that seems to be happening more and more. So it seems as though that critical mass is getting closer, or maybe it's already here. Let me see. The Clergy Health Council is a group that was started by a friend of mine, and it's a way to bring vegan health into churches, and essentially the Clergy Health Council will invite different ministers of all different and different clergy of all different faiths to come to a central meeting place. In this case, it's the Loving Hut restaurant, and they provide a meal, and then there's some speakers that talk about health, and essentially then the video eating is shown, and that kind of does the job for the Clergy Health Council. It's at this point in time, primarily, it's not exclusively, but primarily focusing on African-American churches. One of the founders of the Clergy Health Council is an amazing woman here in Cincinnati, Rachel, who is an 85-year-old vegan. She had crippling arthritis at 80. She had been a vegetarian, and that's a reminder right there. I know Will was talking about this earlier. She was, in terms of health, as well as how the animals are treated as a result of the dairy industry, but she stopped eating dairy at 80 years old, and you would think that she's in her 60s or 70s now. She's just a force of nature, and a lot of her idea to come up with this Clergy Health Council, and it's just amazing. So recently, African-American church, just the minister and the church, have decided that the entire church is going to go vegan. So that, to me, is just a real tribute to how this is working. And that, and of course, as we know, that once they make this giant step and the church goes vegan and they become healthier and loving ourselves more, their compassion will grow, their empathy will grow, and then the next big giant step is that they'll understand the more moral reasons and the integrity and virtue behind the vegan diet, not only for themselves but for all other beings. So this program is working here in Cincinnati, I know that the plans are in the works to take it national. And so anybody that is interested in knowing more about this can get in touch with me or Will, and we can put you in touch with the Clergy Health Council. There is a website, and I'm pretty sure it's just clergyhealthcouncil.com. You can probably just Google Clergy Health Council and get that information. So that's a lot of what's going on here in Cincinnati. Of course, in October, there's the World Peace and Yoga Jubilee. I think probably quite a few people on the call have already heard about that, and that'll be another chance to participate in a facilitator training and be right there with Will and Madeline. This will be the third year of that training, and it's also the only vegan yoga conference, and it's a vegan animal rights conference all rolled into one. Ingrid Newkirk was there last year. Harold Brown, who will be on the call later, he was there the first year. Gene Bauer is coming this year from Farm Sanctuary. Jenny Brown's coming from Woodstock Sanctuary. One thing that's really going to be cute this year is that Ruby Ross, that wrote the children's book, That's Why We Don't Eat Animals, is coming, and she's going to read her book to the entire conference. So looking forward to that. And Julia Butterfly Hill is coming from her home now in Costa Rica this year. So it promises to be, once again, a really powerful spiritual experience. And that seems to be what most people go away with. There's always lots of tears, and people really get that glimpse of heaven on earth at the conference, and what it's like to be in a culture where there is complete empathy and respect and love for all beings and each other. So that's and that's in Loveland, Ohio, just outside of Cincinnati. We're just joyful to be having this conference in Loveland, Ohio. And of course,
right.
Will and Madeline are featured there, and Madeline will have her beautiful artwork. And that's pretty much what's going on in Cincinnati. And then, Will, would you like to talk? talk a little bit about what's happening in California?
Yeah, go ahead and just please just keep let us know about that, because I think this is something that's helpful for people to be aware of. It's quite exciting, I think. So, yeah, just maybe briefly let everyone know, please.
Okay. Well, in Northern California, due to a couple of dedicated vegan activists and their generosity, we are about to open a World Peace Diet Center and a World Peace Yoga studio, just like we have here in Cincinnati. And that's going to be in Healdsburg, California, just a little bit over an hour north of San Francisco, right close to Santa Rosa. And there'll be ongoing yoga classes, World Peace Diet Study Group, vegan cooking classes. Speakers will be coming in on a regular basis. And we're just really enthusiastic that we have this opportunity to spread the word on the West Coast. And so the message will be clearly between the Midwest here, Cincinnati, which is not really too much of the Midwest. It's more of the far east west,
right.
But all the way to California. So that's starting up this summer. So if anybody is interested in being a part of that in any way, we're always welcome to hear from people that are in that area that want to plug in. And one other thing I'd like to mention, too, is that we've also started here in Cincinnati the World Peace Jubilee Horse Sanctuary. And we've really found how important it is to bring the information and the education of how horses are treated in the United States in particular, and really throughout the world. It's a very little-known fact, another dirty secret, particularly here in the United States, that most people believe in the myth that horses are, once they retire from the track, they go out to stud, or maybe they go to the glue factory, or maybe dog food. But primarily they're actually bred for human consumption in Europe and Asia. So we've got some rescue horses here in Cincinnati, and we're using this as an opportunity to educate people about that fact. And that's pretty much everything that's going on that I know of right now.
Great, Mark. Well, thanks so much, and I'd like to just invite people. If you have want to know more, contact me or contact Mark. We can about what's happening in Northern California, and of course, make sure you, if you can, join us at the Jubilee in Cincinnati in October. It's a great connection between spirituality and veganism, and music and art, and being in a beautiful outdoor place. And so, I want to thank Mark and Anna for all the work they do to help promote the World Peace Diet and the vegan message in Cincinnati. And there's a lot we can learn, I think, from what Mark's been doing there and with everyone. And it's so great to see that it's spreading to Northern California, to Healdsburg, where actually we lived for a number of years, and also perhaps some other cities as well. So thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. And I noticed that Nina is on the call, and we had talked a little bit about maybe hearing from Nina tonight, because Nina is a recently graduated World Peace Diet facilitator living in Massachusetts who just jumped right in. I just love that, really, how you did that, Nina, and started offering a World Peace Diet study course in Massachusetts. Can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about how that's been going and what you've learned and what you'd like to share with other people who are on the call here about what you've learned and so forth? Please. That'd be great.
Sure, Will. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you for continuing with the facilitator's circle. It's just really an answer to, prayers to stay connected with everybody, because really some of the things that we did during the book study that I helped were really supported by people that I had met through the facilitator program. Next week will be our last meeting. Originally we had started off to have a six-week training course. After the second week, I asked the group, did they want to do it for the entire 8 weeks, and they all agreed. And it's been very positive. In the beginning, there were a few people that were very resistant to the material, but we talked to each other as a group and, tried to support them in working through it. And I kind of came up with this formula because, doing this for the first time, it was all new to me, but it was like I remembered that you said to acknowledge people. So I came up with this formula, ABC, acknowledge but counter. So I would acknowledge what they were saying, like, yeah, I used to think like that too, but now I've come to understand. And once you give them that acknowledgement and then you give them the insight that you've learned, it makes them pause for a moment. And I really had a positive effect. But as things turned out, we had Tara come, and she's a facilitator that went through the training with me, and she Skyped in with us, and she talked about her experiences becoming a vegan, and she talked about making raw smoothies, and the next week a lady brought in a recipe for raw smoothies, and we made raw smoothies together, so that was really nice. And we were fortunate enough to have, and this is another thing I wanted to mention, when I started off the training course, I was like, how am I going to do this? And I just kind of, I meditated on that, and I had this intention it would be really nice to get a health professional to talk to the group. And as it turned out, my father in Florida had become vegan through this woman that was giving workshops, and she was so kind and offered the same workshop as a Skype, as a one-night Skype, and people loved it. So that was wonderful, too. And I asked them this week, because people had communicated that they didn't want it to end. So I gave them some options. I said we can read another book. We could gather and have, you know, vegan potlucks, or we can take this woman's full four-week vegan health training course via Skype, and that's what they wanted to do.
Great. So it's going to continue on.
It's going to continue
for
on.
For a while in a different format.
Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah. And one of the other things that was very exciting that came out of it is one of the participants now wants to have a one-day vegan lifestyle workshop that he can offer to his coworkers. So he's already contacted people to attend that.
Really? That would be something he would put on in his business? Is that right?
No, he asked me to do it for him.
Oh, you're going to do it at his business?
No, we're going to do it at the church, but he's invited the people to come to my church to do that.
I see. Great. Wow. So you're going to get more and more experience in delivering this information, it sounds like, which is great.
Yeah, and I think what winds up happening is when you do it locally in your community, I mean, people talk to their friends and their family, and it becomes a reflection, and it just builds and builds.
Right. Right. Yeah, and it's good to have also, I think, in the sort of in the background, having Dr. Oz and T. Colin Campbell and all these other people sort of putting it out there into the mainstream, Ellen DeGeneres. It's really mutually working back and forth, but I think they won't be able to do it if we don't do it either. So it's important that we're doing it. Great. Well, thanks, Nina. Anything else you wanted to share, or is that
One of the other things that was helpful is every week I did cook for them, and they did enjoy that a lot. I would send them the recipes every week, and along with sending them the recipes, I would take little snippets of information that I had seen in Facebook or vegan.com blog or something that you had posted and send out kind of like a mini newsletter just to kind of give them some auxiliary information. But really, the words in your book were very powerful and moved them deeply.
Yes, I understand. Great. Well, thank you. And thanks to Tara for coming on your class there, and also for she's been helping out quite a bit with the Veg Inspiration for the Day. Actually, I want to let you know she's now helping to put that up every day. So if you're not getting the Veg Inspiration for the Day, you just go to worldpeacediet.com and you can sign up there. And every day, typically it's something, a quote, something that I've written in the World Peace Diet or in one of my other writings, something that we share every day to help just as a reminder. Sometimes it's a quote from a famous person. But thank you, Tara, for all your assistance with these projects as well and for helping out with Nina. And so veganism and the World Peace Diet is now in Massachusetts, thanks to Nina. And I also was thinking that we could perhaps hear from Michael Gerard, and I'm not sure if Michael Gerard is on the call with us. He's from Australia. He said he was going to try to be on the call. I think, looks like I see a hand up. Is that you, Michael? Maybe we could unmute him, Steve. That could hand us up, perhaps. Is that you, Michael, on there? Or?
G'day, Will. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. It's Michael. I can tell the Australian accent. Wow. I'm calling all the way from Australia.
Yeah, how are you going? I'm speaking to you from Cariad Farm Sanctuary on the New South Wales-Queensland border.
Wow. Fantastic. Tell us about it, please, if you'd like.
Sure. Well, I've been here for a week now, and my friend Darren Williams is the owner of Cariad. Cariad is actually the Welsh word for love, so it's literally the love farm.
Wow, really? And it's an animal sanctuary, and you've been there for a whole week?
Yes, I don't know if you can hear in the background, but the geese are being very vocal at the moment. I think they're wanting to have their voice heard.
Well, we hear you, goats. We hear you, and we're coming.
So Cariad is 400 acres on the New South Wales-Queensland border, and it's home to about 20 geese and ducks, three or four pigs, three or four horses, some cows, and about 10 to 15 goats.
I see. Wonderful. And it's open to the public, so people come and see the geese and the ducks and the goats and the pigs and the cows as beings, not just as pieces of meat.
Absolutely. And in fact, this afternoon, there's about 15 people arriving from Brisbane, which is the capital of Queensland, and they're coming to stay for the weekend. So looking forward to that as well. And on Sunday morning, I'm going to be leading a prayer circle for the animals down by the river, and Supreme Master TV are coming along to film, and I'll be talking about the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training Course, and we'll be leading a prayer circle for the animals, and reciting the mantra of compassion encircles the world for all beings. And I'll be reading from Judy Carman's book, Peace to All Beings, and probably reciting her extended version of the Prayer of St. Francis.
Wow, that is so uplifting and so heart-touching, Michael. I really, really am delighted to hear about that, you know, because that's bringing in so many different aspects of the teaching of veganism, of compassion for animals, bringing in the spiritual and religious dimension. And I'm really delighted to hear that Supreme Master TV will be covering that, because that means it'll go out through SupremeMasterTV.com, which is, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, vegan internet television that goes all over the world. It's translated into over 20 languages. So your words will be carried around, and it's replayed very often. So it's just wonderful how we can magnify the message through the technologies that we have now to reach people so far away. And I know Judy Carman that you mentioned, she's also gone through the World Peace Diet Facilitator training. She and I and Madeline have created a website called circleofcompassion.org, and we have the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals there. And I also would encourage everyone, if you're interested, to register there. We have a once a week update, and Michael will be the mantra that he mentioned, compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere, is one that we all try to repeat every day at noon to create a field of consciousness for healing and compassion for animals. So, Michael, it's really so wonderful to hear that you're going to be doing this publicly and doing it at an animal sanctuary. And you're doing so much in Australia. Could you tell us also, if there's anything more to tell us about what you're doing there at the Farm Sanctuary, that would be great. And maybe also if you could say something about the Vegan Expo that you put on in Sydney a couple of weeks ago, and how you did that and how that turned out.
Sure, I'd be delighted to. I'm on the organizing committee of the Vegan Society of New South Wales, and the society is currently celebrating its 30th year. It was actually founded in 1981. And this year we decided we really wanted to take our annual expo up to another level. And I believe it was quite successful. We had just under 3,000 people through the door this month at the expo.
Great.
That's more than double previous years. And we put together a really comprehensive program that included speakers and educators across the board of veganism. So we had Dr. Roger Yates as a video guest. We had your good self as a video guest. Dr. Ariane Tavakoli from New Zealand. And we tried to cover all aspects of veganism. So we kind of tried to address animal rights theory through to the health aspects of how to thrive and do a vegan diet correctly. Through to, for example, Fawn Porter, a lady in Sydney who's a vegan personal trainer, and Ralph Bain from Mission Extreme. And they put on a very comprehensive sort of one-hour session where we got people up and moving, doing sort of yoga and exercise and calisthenics, etc. We had animal intuitives speaking as well, bringing the message of the animals to the general public, which was quite interesting. We also had cooking demonstrations, also raw food demonstrations. The lovely Julie Mitsoas from ConsciousChoice.com here in Sydney, who is a very accomplished raw food educator. We had all-day yoga on the rooftop overlooking the city of Sydney. We had child minding where parents could drop off their children, and we engaged them in some activities like face painting as well as sort of making vegan badges and doing some sort of vegan outreach activities like that. And we had organic gardening and permaculture demonstrations and food vendors. And we also provided a space for vegan businesses to set up shop and display their stuff. And all in all, it was a very, very successful day. And in fact, we're already starting on next year. And next year, we're hoping to make it a two-day event where the first day will be kind of an animal rights conference.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, you have a lot of energy, and I was so glad that I could be a little part of that and record something. But I think, it's a great idea that you have, and this is something that I would think would be doable in most cities in the United States, for example, or in Europe or in Africa or in Asia, to have a vegan expo and talk about compassion for animals and health and environmental concerns. How there's a lot of interest in this. It's growing all the time, and there are a lot of people who are experts, I think, who'd be glad to come and speak, and it's a great way to raise consciousness. Did you find, Michael, that it worked out okay financially as well? I mean, was it okay on that level too? Besides all the great information, did that work out all right? That's always an important part for people who are thinking of putting something like this on.
That's a very good question, Will, and thank you for asking it. We kept our entry fee low. It was only $5 to come for the whole day, and children were free. But we did that deliberately because we didn't want price to be a barrier to people coming through the door. So having said that, I can say at a high level, basically we broke even on the day.
Good.
We didn't make a lot of money for the society. We did do a lot of good book sales. We did nearly $3,000 in book sales, which was good. All of the stallholders were very happy, particularly the food vendors. They all sold out. So they were very happy.
Good. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Whether or not we can keep the price that low next year or not, I'm not sure. But $5 was an absolute bargain. I mean, considering that you could do yoga all day with some of the best Jiva Mukti and other yoga teachers in Sydney, you know, literally half an hour on the rooftop doing yoga more than paid for the entrance fee.
Right.
So it's an interesting topic. The price point to get people, particularly non-vegans, through the door is quite an interesting point of discussion there. I would like to actually make it free, but then we do have to cover our venue hire costs, etc. So we decided $5 was the most appropriate price point at this point in time.
Right. Well, fantastic. Thank you. And Michael is registered in the circle. I'm sure you can be in touch. Perhaps if you think you might like to put on an expo, an event, it can start small and gradually grow. And we have people, it's just wonderful to have people like Michael who have done this, have some experience, can maybe offer you a tip or two if you need it. And this circle, I think, has so many wonderful resources of experience and understanding that we can share with each other. So, Michael, is there anything else before we say goodbye? I really want to thank you for joining us all the way from Australia. It's really terrific, and to hear about what you're doing at the animal the farm sanctuary there too. Anything else, or that's pretty much it?
Oh, well, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk, and thanks, everybody. Look, I'll be listening in for the rest of the call, and I can just like to say I'm looking out the window at two donkeys who are just standing there staring at me, so I think they might want my attention.
Right. Good. Yeah, we can give them the right
kind of attention. If anyone wants any information or support in running an expo or putting something together, I'm only too happy to help. There's only three of us here running the society, but you know we're only always too happy to help anyone anywhere in the world with if it's like that. So if there's any way I can be of assistance, please feel free to contact me on Facebook or through the World Peace Diet Facilitator Group or wherever.
Great. All right. Thank you so much, Michael. So now, let's see. I'm curious, for some reason, and it's quite mysterious to me, but anyway, we don't have Harold with us right now, but I think we have a great opportunity for a little bit of time here that would be very helpful for us to do, to spend a few minutes and have something like an intention call, just to I'd like to just ask everyone who's on the call here to raise your hand and just say what you would like to get from our circle over the next months ahead. We have this opportunity. If there's particular things that you're interested in that you'd like to share, or projects that you want to do, projects that you think would be helpful, or questions that you have, I'd like to just open it up here so we can hear from each other and talk a little bit about your dreams, your passions, your fears, your challenges, and what you are, and maybe also what you have to offer, or any particular needs that you might have that you think other people might be able to help. So just press *2 on your phone. That would probably be the easiest. And another thing you could do would be to type in. I think that would also work, and I could read it. If you'd rather do that, I could read something if you type in. But press *2 on your phone, and I'd love to hear from some of you. I know you're there, and so if there's certain things you'd like to know. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll start. This is Steve, and I'll get the ball rolling. And anyone else, hit *2 or type in your intention for the circle, what direction you'd like to see it, because we would like your input, and I think that's great. And Will, I'll say my intention is to connect with other people and just build as a whole, as a community, and network and come together in this venue. And I feel as the circle grows, we'll have that opportunity to grow, and that's what I'm looking forward to with the circle.
Great. Thanks, Steve. Yeah, I think that's right. I think I've talked quite a bit about my dreams of building a vegan world, that it's a grassroots movement. And I think as we do one of the things that I think Harold actually has talks about is the importance of the inner life. He's very, very much an advocate of that too. And even though he's not on the call with us right now, we will have him on the call. If he doesn't call in the next few minutes, that's okay. We will have him on. I know we have John Robbins on in June, but we can have Harold on in one of the upcoming months before too long. He has got so much to share, and I'm not sure what happened. I'm sure there's a good reason that he couldn't be with us, but one of the things that I'll just mention that he always emphasizes, besides the importance of community, which is essential, I think, is the importance of the inner life, inner contemplation. And I see that Mark has his hand up. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. My live here?
Here you.
Okay.
Yeah, you're live.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about an experience I had recently. Russell Simmons was just here in Cincinnati.
Can you tell everybody who Russell Simmons is, just in case some people might not know?
Yeah. Russell Simmons, first and foremost, he's a vegan activist. But he kind of came from the streets and created a vast fortune with hip-hop music. He discovered Jay-Z, who's married to Beyonce, and is a record executive, and now has moved into finances and banking. And he just wrote a book on called The Super Rich, A Guide to Having It All. And he spoke at University of Cincinnati a couple of days ago. I got to meet him.
Uh-huh.
And he really preaches speaks a message of the World Peace Diet. And it's really interesting because the crowd is very different than I've
see at most like an animal rights conference or a vegan conference. And he basically says, well, the last part of his book talks about a part of the Bhagavad Gita and a conversation with Arjuna and Lord Krishna.
Uh-huh.
Basically says, Arjuna says, to fight not for what you can get for yourself, but what you can give to others. To fight not for your own abundance, but for the abundance of others. To fight not for your own security, but for the peace and safety of others. To fight not for your own joy, but for the happiness of others. To fight not for your own upliftment, but for the enlightenment of others. When you are devoted to fighting for these things, with a smile on your face and love radiating out of your heart, then all of these things will be yours. You will have it all. You will be super rich.
And, wow.
And he clearly defines the all, including all beings. And he talks about land animals and the genocide that's being done to them and how important it is to practice yoga, live a vegan lifestyle, and help others. And a lot of people in the audience were really surprised to hear this message coming from Russell Simmons. And it just speaks to the power of how this message is really reaching mainstream America. And it was very inspiring to me to hear him talk.
How many people were listening to him, would you say?
There were about 500 people there.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Did he actually say anything about veganism specifically, or was it more, you know, compassion for all life?
He specifically talked about his main conversation was be a vegan, practice yoga, help others, and all riches will come to you. And he talked about the health aspect, the violence of so many 75 million animals being killed every day. So he really touched on the details of it, and it was a pretty simple message.
Wow. Whew. Wow, that's great to hear. You know, I think more and more we're going to see this kind of thing happening. You know, I think there is an awakening happening. That's really beautiful. All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. That's a very beautiful. I wonder if maybe that what you just read to us from the Gita, if there's any way you could either send that to me and I'll post it. I'd like to just let everybody have that because I thought it was very well said, a great summary. So if you could send that to me, that would be great.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we'd like to hear from you. You're part of this circle, and now's the time to come forward and let us know your intention for the group, where you want to see us move, and where you're moving on your journey. So just press star 2 on your phone, and we'll put you right on right now. And if you've got a question in the chat room, just go ahead and type it in, and I see we do have a hand raised. And you'll just be in the queue. So as you raise your hands, I'll line you guys up. So just go ahead and press star 2, and you'll be lined up to talk with us. And we've got area code 513 right now on the line with Dr. Tuttle.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Tuttle. And Steve, it's good to hear from you.
Great.
Yes, hi.
This is Greg Gaynor. Yeah, Mark gave us a pretty good introduction before about the Clergy Health Council. And I meant to say it's clergyhealthcouncil.org is the suffix on that. So that's our address on the website. And we've
clergyhealthcouncil.org. Okay, thanks. Greg is calling us from Cincinnati, and he's also, I think you're working really with them closely, huh? Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the secretary, and my wife, Helen, who we're both we're the two World Peace Diet facilitators on the council, and it's actually spearheaded by a guy named Rich Brown. He does most of the heavy lifting on this thing because he's real good on the website, and he's been coordinating our classes, and he's been coordinating with Rachel Lewis, who is our we call her our poster child. She's in her 80s, and nobody can even guess that. They all think she's in her 50s or maybe her 40s. So nobody even believes that she's in her 80s. So.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, great. So is that your main project right now, is the Clergy Health Council?
That is that is our focus, and we take this into churches. We were really lucky because Miss Lewis was real big in the civil rights community back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and she has a lot of access to people. The mayor and different people know her, and she has access to get us into a lot of churches and a lot of places where we can put on this demonstration and this DVD.
Wow. Well, great. So anything you want to say about what you'd like to see from our monthly circle, anything in particular, or is it just let me know. Let us all know if there's anything we can do to help support you in your process there.
Well, I think just letting people know that the Jubilee is coming up in October and discussing the different ways we get access to people and how we present this message. It's one thing to take the message into a class, a yoga studio or something, but it's a little bit different to take it into a construction company or a church where, like Mark said, there were very few people in that Russell Simmons thing that had any idea about veganism, or they were just surprised to hear it. And they're really surprised when we go into these and we talk to them about veganism. So
yeah, that's right. I'm sure they are surprised. but once they begin to make the connections, I think they begin to realize how important it is.
And it's good to get health information out. We approach this from a health standpoint, strictly from a health standpoint. We've saved tens of thousands of chickens and turkeys and pigs and things since January when we started this thing. But the people that we're addressing at this point, my ultimate goal after we have two or three classes with them is to try to feed them a copy of the World Peace Diet. Maybe some of these people will be ready for that. But when we first go into these places, these people are worried about, they're on canes or on crutches or hobbling in or overweight or they're in terrible shape. And we're just trying to get them back to some kind of health so that they can look at the real aspects of the interconnectedness of all life and the spiritual aspects of this program.
Right. Yeah, that's
where we're going with it.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks so much, Greg. It's great to hear from you, and keep up the great work, for sure.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I wanted to thank you. I wanted to mention a few other people. Bonnie Scrudato is one of our facilitators. She wasn't able to actually be on the call, but she sent me an email right beforehand. She, as you remember, perhaps, has been facilitating a World Peace Diet study group through the Unity Church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And she says, the last class was a potluck and a beautiful celebration of life. I have been told that awareness has been expanded, and as a confirmation, I have been informed that Unity Church will be hosting a vegan brunch as part of their 25th anniversary celebration. Woo-hoo, she writes. My future plans include hosting some smaller World Peace Diet study groups at my home and possibly a few half-day seminars at our local farm sanctuary. I'm also trying to manifest a compassionate cook-off. I'm not sure how or where, but the intention is out there. I have contacted a local news station that does a recipe of the week, and I am planning to share a raw vegan lasagna with the viewers. The TV celebrity comes to your home and prepares the dish with you. I know I will have to be somewhat politically correct, but I can still plant a seed and maybe explain why this lifestyle is so important to the world. So she says to please share this with everyone. So I wanted to share that all with you, some of what Bonnie's been up to. Her World Peace Diet Facilitator training has successfully completed, and it sounds like it's ongoing in a variety of ways for her in Myrtle Beach. We also, just to let you know, heard from a few people here typed in. a friend Joan lets us know that what she is most interested in is effective techniques for advocating, and then so that's one thing, and then also the networking in the community. I think that probably is, a lot of people would agree with that, but it's just good to hear it from you so we know what you really want here. So please press *2 on your phone. We only have a few more minutes here before we're going to wrap it up, but please do press *2 if
right.
you'd like to share an idea.
I think this is a great opportunity to, let your voice be heard and not, this is a close-knit group. It's a community that nothing to be nervous about coming forward. You don't even have to have anything really prepared. If you just want to come forward, introduce yourself and say what program you've gone through already, whatever. We'd just love to hear from you. It's *2.
Great. Thanks. We have also Gypsy, our friend Gypsy Wolf from Australia, from Perth, wrote in, the kind of thing that has been discussed today is so helpful. If the circle discussions were like this, it would be great. I would also like to hear more about the wonderful things that are happening for animals and more interaction on the forums, as they are a great way to connect. The other concept I would like to discuss is that of sacred activism, as put forward by Andrew Harvey. I think it fits what we are doing so beautifully. It would be great to have a speaker like him interviewed. Thank you all for the wonderful contributions that are being made. Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, we actually had Mark invited Andrew Harvey to speak at the World Peace and Yoga Jubilee, the first one, and he spoke, and it was great. We really, I think, talked a lot about what we're really talking about here is activism combined with spirituality. He calls that sacred activism. I don't think he's the only one calling it that, but sacred activism is activism that's not done only from the point of view of my desires and social, a social aspect, but really as a way of spiritual practice, being an activist as a way of spiritual practice. And I think what Mark said, that beautiful quote from the Bhagavad Gita, how when we work to enrich others, we get the rewards, and when we work to bless others, we are helped. And the more we want others to be happy, the greater we will find our own happiness to be, and so forth. This is really the foundation of the World Peace Diet vision of spreading the vegan message as a way of understanding that we're all interconnected. And as we bless others and care about them, we'll find our own lives will become more and more enriched. Madeline and I have certainly found that to be very true, and it's just the most wonderful people we meet, and just the abundance of, thinking of success, not in terms merely of financial success, but really, which is really almost just an absurd idea, actually, to think of wealth and success in terms of relationships, in terms of having a meaningful life, and in terms of being able to share and connect and have inner peace and joy. And I think it's really important for all of us to take time every day to connect with nature. I know after we went shopping at Whole Foods today, we took a walk over at the spring, and we were able to take a swim in this beautiful stream, and it was just wonderful to be there and to look deeply into the trees and the flowers and the water and see the turtles and birds flying around and the sky and just really connect with the precious moments that we have on this planet of being alive, being human beings, and to realize that life here is very precious and we can all contribute something, and that our contribution is most powerful and most meaningful when it comes through us as an expression of love that's inclusive. And we'd love to have Andrew Harvey. We're really still hoping that he'll actually go vegan, which would make it a little bit more in alignment with our work here. But he's trying in that direction, I guess. And that's what we heard anyway from him. We should maybe check again. But there are, but the ideas for sure are good. Okay, we have Karen calling in. It's either Karen, go ahead, and you're unmuted, so let's hear. You're on the line.
Hi, Will. This is Karen Renaud calling from Michigan.
Great. Good to hear from you. We have you're the ones that I told everybody about. We crossed paths in Atlanta.
Yes.
So. Yeah, the RV park.
Right, and then we were, my husband Jim and I were on our way to the farm for the Farm Experience Weekend, which was very nice.
Right.
And when I called on the gala call, I didn't have good reception. And I just had wanted to bring up 2 points. One was about a reading we're doing about, we're reading Mark Beckoff, and he speaks about the compassionate footprint. And I thought that was so interesting, where with the carbon footprint, you're always trying to make it less. But with a compassionate footprint, you're trying to make it grow. And that's what I see as our job right now, is to continue to increase our compassionate footprint and to try to help others to do the same.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. You have to increase. So the idea is, instead of trying to reduce your carbon footprint, I mean, which is, you know, something that's a good idea, but to increase your compassionate footprint.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And recently, Dr. Campbell and Dr. Esselstyn wrote a piece in Huffington Post about their film, or the film that they're featured in, Forks Over Knives. And I have, Jim and I have a problem sometimes with some of our friends that we thought would be so open to these concepts we're trying to help people to think about, because they've thought of themselves as environmentalists and compassionate people, but they just don't quite want to go where we're trying to help them to think about in those areas. And Dr. Campbell was asked how he could deal with people who have tried in the past to embarrass him and tamper with his reputation. And his quote was that the best way he is finding to deal with that is to keep doing what he's doing. And so I just want to thank you and Madeline and Steve for doing what you're doing to help us to start working in this way to help heal the world. So much needed, so much to do, and I think we're working towards that. And I also wanted to thank the people that are continuing the forum, because their writings are very helpful, I think, to all of us. So basically, that's why I just wanted to thank all of us for working at this and to continue doing what we're doing.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Karen. Much love to you and Jim, and thanks for articulating that for us. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Wow, that's that's powerful, that idea of increasing our compassionate footprint, because we can always do that. We all send out ripples that radiate into the world, and be aware of those, what those ripples are. Thanks so much. Well, we're really, really at our time here now. So there was a call that came in from Patricia Todd. Patricia's a Low Peace Diet facilitator and has a question about vegan eating. And I'm not totally sure of the answer of this, but I'll just put the question out there. And if some of you maybe know more about this than I do, and I actually have looked into it pretty in depth, but question is regarding nutritional yeast flakes. If you're concerned about candida, systemic yeast infections, et cetera, do nutritional yeast flakes contribute to this? And so I've heard both sides of that. I've heard some so-called experts say, yes, you know, don't do nutritional yeast because it can contribute to fungus and yeast in your body. I've heard others that say, no, it doesn't, and it's a great source of vitamin B12, and it's a wonderful thing. So I think it kind of depends on which expert you're going to believe. There are quite a few of these types of sort of ongoing debates within the nutritional communities, and they're, as far as I can tell, they haven't been completely resolved. But anyway, if anyone has some information on that, we can share on the community forums, or we can talk about this maybe next time. So I'd like to bring to a close. Cover right now before we begin to wrap it up. Oh, yes, I did notice we do have Tara. Yeah, Tara, go ahead. You have something you'd like to share?
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to share with Pamela. I asked that same question in a restaurant one time of the person who was waiting on me, because they were serving a gravy with nutritional yeast in it, and I had never eaten it before. And they said, well, I don't know the answer, but my friend over here is a nutritional doctor. So they went over and they asked this nutritional doctor. And what he said was, no, it is very different from brewer's yeast. Nutritional yeast is Red Star brand, is perfectly fine to eat. There's no problem. It's not going to cause a yeast problem. However, if you have an overgrowth of yeast problem, such as candida, then eating anything like that would not be a good idea. So as he explained it to me, it will not necessarily cause the problem. However, if you've already got the problem, then don't risk it.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like maybe that's it. It's sort of both people are right. Right. All right. Thanks, Tara. Great. So, Steve, anything else before we bring our monthly call to a close?
We'll keep you all notified through email of the upcoming events and calls, so you can mark it on your calendar and dial in. And the community forum will be active, and we'll post a category for the circle in there. That'll be up by tomorrow, where we can start engaging in conversation there. And I'll just start a group in there for your intention for the circle, and we can get some ideas and input there. And that's all I have for tonight, Will. Thanks again.
Great. Thank you, Steve. So I want to thank all of you for joining us. And please take a look at that sheet that I put together. I took quite a bit of effort to put that together. I wanted to give you some resources. We didn't have a chance to go through the whole second, probably two-thirds of the letter of the page where I talk about some of the daily e-letters that you can sign up for that I have found to be interesting and helpful. There's some really great resources out there. So look at all of those things if you'd like to in the next month. And we'll be being joined by more and more people as time goes on, as people go through the training and join us. And I think we have nothing to look forward to but a better and more connected and more powerful presence, that we can create a community. And we already are, but we can create a more and more effective community that is really reflective of our yearning to help create a more compassionate and healthy world. So much love to you all. Thanks for joining us on the call. Stay in touch. Let's stay in touch through the forums. Feel free to send me emails if you have any questions. Feel free to spread news about the new World Peace Diet Facilitator Training and Mastery Program. That's basically just a self-paced program. If you just go to worldpeacemastery.com, it's all right there. You can see if you have friends or colleagues or anyone that you think maybe would benefit from this program. It's ongoing. And so I guess that's it for now.
Great. And if you are a member of the affiliate program and you just put a link up on your Facebook status or Twitter about this program, you know, you'll get a nice commission too, and it's a great way to spread the message about the program. So that's in the worldpeacemastery.com, and there's a link for affiliates there if you're not already an affiliate for the program. And you can always email me direct, and I can tell you more if you need some support with affiliate promotions. I'm available for you.
Right. Thanks, Steve. A lot of you probably have no idea what that was. I didn't even know what affiliate meant either until relatively recently, but it means that if you refer someone to something, you get a commission. It's sort of automatically done by computer. You don't have to do anything. You just get a special link, and it just sort of happens. So I think you will be referring people, you can just refer them. But if you'd like to make a percentage, basically, every time you refer someone, then Steve has set that up for you. So it's the one more way that by spreading the vegan message, you can bring a little income into your funds into your life, which you can use to buy more tofu or more resources to help spread the message. And a reminder that next week we do have John Robbins with us. I'd like to encourage everyone to a big part of spreading the vegan message is sort of stepping outside of our comfort zone and speaking up and and saying, you know, articulating our ideas as best we can. So the more we do that, the better. So I want to encourage everyone to make the leap and speak on our calls. If you have questions or comments, it's always great to hear from each other. And but we'll have plenty of material also and content that we would like to share with you, but we'd like it to go two ways. So thank you all for sharing and for your energy and for the work you're doing. And we just close now just knowing that all of our actions are going forth to bless all living beings, that we are guided in our daily lives and in our actions by the inner wisdom of our intuition and our inner knowing of the sacred feminine, that we are part of an awakening on this planet of human consciousness, and that the world of peace and compassion and freedom, our future, is unfolding every day, getting stronger and clearer, and that the shadows that we see of violence and separation are getting brighter, more visible only because the light is shining more brightly. So keep shining the light, and we'll keep moving forward to create a new world of compassion that works for everyone. Bless you all, and thank you for joining us, and we look forward to the next call. Thanks again.